You're listening to Bit by Bit, July 27th, 2010.
This is Zoe Sprangle reporting from North Station in Boston, Massachusetts. We have recently been at the Boston Learning, Building Learning Community in Boston. And
who's we?
Me and my father.
Hi.
Bob Sprangle. So on Thursday, we saw a young girl that we already told you about in the keynotes, Adora Svitek. And she did a workshop that was Creativity in the Digital Age, how new technologies can further student expression.
What was your takeaway from that session?
I loved how she incorporated the audience. It was very fun to be talking, and she wrote things down and we made a story. It was really great.
Totally. I mean that was a real breakthrough for me to watch a 12-year-old get up there and just let things become more fluid with a presentation without everything being locked down. Come back again to the Bit by Bit and you'll hear the other workshops that we got to attend at the Building Learning Communities Conference in Boston, Massachusetts by the LN November Group of the summer of 2010.
Afternoon as well from 5 till 6, and I hope everyone's had a brilliant day, and it's an absolute pleasure to introduce Adora. I'm very inspired by her and I hope you have a great session. So Adora, sit back.
Okay, somehow my, is this working?
You turn on the mic.
Oh. All right, oh. Hopefully that'll work. Yep. The little badge audio system, everything's right on here. Okay. And let me know if you can hear me in the back. If everyone can start coming forward a little bit, that actually might help, or just sit pretty close if you can. Well, today I'm going to be talking about creativity in the digital age, and for those of you who saw my keynote, I did talk about how important it is for teachers to admit that sometimes they're not the smartest people in the room and that maybe not everything's perfect. And here's what I'll admit, I was working on this presentation over the last couple of hours, and so I am a big procrastinator. I'm hoping that despite the fact that it was a little bit last minute, that you'll still get a lot of good information from this, and I did put a lot of effort into it, so I hope you enjoy. Now, starting off with, again, for those of you who saw my keynote, you know that I love to start with definitions of words, and I think that it's important before we consider something and consider how to go about solving a problem, then it's important to think about what we're really looking at. And so for creativity, then I wanted to ask the question, what does creativity and being creative really mean? Because people talk about, oh, well, this person's very creative, this person's not being very creative quite a bit, and I wanted to think, well, what does that mean exactly? And according to Encarta, because yes, I was just way too lazy to go outside Microsoft Word, then creativity means the quality of being creative, the ability to use the imagination to develop new and original ideas or things, especially in an artistic context, and creative means able to create things new and original. So that is the dictionary definition. But I wanted to see if we could start a little discussion about this. So. If you can, turn to the person sitting closest to you, whether it's on your right side or your left side, and ask them, what do you think it means to be creative?
What do you
for those of you just coming in, what we're doing right now is starting a discussion about what it means to be creative. So the people here are turning to the person next to them and asking, what does it mean to be creative? Okay, so now that you've turned to the person next to you, I'm hoping, and asked them, what do you think it means to be creative? And really part of this activity is I've been seeing a lot of people on their computers, typing on Facebook, and I wanted to just take a break from computers for a moment and just turn to the person next to you, have that face-to-face interaction as well as hopefully spark a meaningful discussion. So creativity, raise your hand to tell me what you heard from the person sitting next to you and what you think it means. Yes?
Creating something new and original.
Okay, so pretty similar to what we saw from the Encore definition. Thank you. Yes?
It's doing something that will help something become more original.
So it could be doing something to add on to something that would make it more new, original, and better. That's a very good idea. Yes?
Rearranging ideas or objects into new patterns.
Rearranging ideas and objects into new patterns. Oh, and I should start writing this all down. Okay, so let me see. Creating something new and original, arranging into new patterns. And no, I'm not doing the fake typing thing like they have in Jay Leno. Creating something new and original, arranging into new patterns, adding on to something to make it more original. Better. Okay, and what do you think? What are some other definitions of creativity?
About expressing something authentic that's inside you.
Expressing something authentic that's inside of you.
Yeah.
And one more. Yes?
Thinking outside the box.
Thinking outside the box. And please excuse my inconsistency with capitalizing some parts and not others. So it looks like we have not just the official dictionary definition of creativity, the quality of being creative, the ability to use the imagination, etc. We also have creativity, our look at it, creating something new and original, arranging into new patterns, adding on to something to make it more original or better, expressing something authentic that's inside of you, and thinking outside the box. So now that we know a little better what creative looks like, I want people to think about what are some of the things that could be called creative. What do you think of when you think of creativity and being creative? Here are a few different things that I might have thought of. I would think of paintings. I would think of sculptures. I noticed the doodle for Google on the homepage today. I thought of pieces of clothing that are maybe kind of interesting. I thought of writing and poetry. What are some of the things you think of as far as activities or works that are creative? Yes?
Our conversation was also just about solving a problem.
Mm-hmm. Solving a problem creatively, that's a very good point. When you have a problem and you look at it outside of the box and you look at solving it a different way, that's a very good point. And so there are many different ways to be creative and ways to go about being creative creatively. But I see quite often in my teaching when I talk to kids about reading and writing, and often we'll do collaborative writing where I'll source ideas from them and we'll make a story. A lot of times I see some lack of imagination going on. And my idea, it could be, especially since I see this a lot more in upper grades, that these kids might be exposed to a lot of this is right and this is wrong and might be afraid to speak out because they're worried it might not work or it might be wrong. And I definitely see a lot of this going on where teachers have to say to the kids, you know, use your imagination and really try to wring it out of them. And when I'm doing video conferencing and I'm talking about writing, then I'll ask them, so what do you think we should name our character? And there will always be someone who says Bob or Mike. And I'm not saying, I know your name, Bob, so there's nothing wrong with that name. But there is always someone there who will say that Bob or Mike or Tom or something so very the same as what they've always been saying. It's not particularly out of the norm, and sometimes someone will say Spider-Man or Harry Potter characters they've read about before, and not coming up with their new ideas, not coming up with something new and original, which is, as we saw in the definition of creativity. And so I think that we have a problem. We have a problem with people becoming less creative, whether it's as they grow or go through school. And I wanted to ask you, do you see any of this going on with your students? Yes?
I think we do, but then we also have to gauge where they're studying from. And for someone that might have said, Bob, there's this potential that they, in fact, are being creative. In fact, they didn't even think about any of those things. So gauging a bit about where they're at and helping them to grow to a creative state.
Yes. Yes, definitely. And one of the reasons that I asked the question, and since I know that a lot of you are probably teachers, whether you see sometimes a lack of creativity from your students, is that this is something that I've seen somewhat in my teaching, but I wanted to really gauge how many of you also see this happening in your classrooms. Raise your hand if you teach writing. I see a lot of raised hands. And do you ever have difficulty with students as far as getting them to be new and original? Do you see that sometimes? Seeing some nods. And what are some ways that you use to bring students out to come with more original ideas? Yes?
We've used Nancy Atwell's heart maps, working to discover their passions.
Mm-hmm. Okay, working to discover their passions. It's a very good thing to do, definitely. And I thought we would have active expressions. So I wanted to, we've been talking about some ways to draw out students. What are some technologies that you think really help get students thinking and imagining? Are there any ideas people have as far as technology? Yes?
This year we did, first year I attempted it with 100 students in group work claymations. And they had to create their little creatures, name their little creatures, their characters. We had a group that did the firemen with the ladder and the fire truck. We did others with the fish that ate the fish that ate the fish. You know, we had a lot of different technologies going on, a lot of creativity, mm-hmm. and that kind of thing.
Any other examples? Thank you. Yes?
Digital storytelling.
Digital storytelling, yes. I've heard a lot about that. So a particular example of using that?
Well, I've used it in many ways. Mm-hmm. It's not autobiographical. It can be this year we had students studying Mesopotamia. And then they had to collectively take what they learned and then do voiceovers and do more presentations with it.
Okay. So digital storytelling. Yes?
Machinima. Using Machinima, a story recorded in world, in a game called Warcraft or Second Life, and then voiceover for the story and music.
Interesting. So I'm seeing a lot of different examples of things that you could use to try to draw things out. So I'm going to type up a few of these. Let's see. What else can we contribute?
Claymations.
Okay. Yes, sorry. And that's how it's spelled, right? Was there another one? Second Life, okay. Great, so these are a few of the ways that you can, technologies from this audience suggested to help students really think and express themselves creatively. And we've seen a lot of ways, for instance, you know, getting out a pad of paper and writing that are excellent ways, but we really have to think about how we can reach out to students in all areas, those who might think they don't particularly like writing, as well as those who are already really into being creative. I hear a lot about project-based learning helping with this. And so the reason that I think this is important is because creativity is one of the traits that will help us not just in school, but also when we have real problems to solve, when we have jobs. And creativity is really an essential part, I think, of everyday life. So here are a few of the technologies I've assembled that I think personally can be used in very creative methods. Now, please forgive me for the white background. I was assembling these a little last minute. So, Blogster is one example. Raise your hand if you've heard of Blogster. See some raised hands. And so it's basically a poster application online, and students can do postering easily offline as well. But the cool thing about Blogster is that it's not just something that you can print off, it also allows you to do multimedia and all kinds of cool features. And so this is good not just for students doing projects, but also to have them expand their thinking beyond just the text on a poster, but also thinking about it visually and from a multimedia standpoint. So I'm doing the event TEDx Redmond, and I actually made a blog about it if you go to TEDxRedmond.com, and we also edited it slightly. And so things like posters on Blogster can be used to advertise events or projects about a country if you're learning, for instance, about one in a history class. Sorry, this is taking a little while to load. Okay, I'll just go back to the presentation there. Another great one is Prezi. So how many of you saw my TED video? Raise your hand if you did. Okay, I see some raised hands. So in my TED video, I used a medium called Prezi, and Prezi is basically a zooming presentation editor. Sorry, this computer is not. And so it again allows students to think about it visually rather than just PowerPoint, which is bulleted text. It has a lot of options for zooming and movement. I think it's Wi-Fi. Yeah. That would be good if there was an Ethernet cord. Yeah. Sorry, excuse me for 1 second. Okay, for the, thanks. Sorry, the internet will be a bit slow. Yes?
One of
the reasons I don't use Blogster
is because
there are no, there isn't any control over it. Okay. So some of the things I know with Wiki Spaces, you get an education on it. Are you using Blogster?
There is an
Edu Blogster. Yeah. Okay. There's no Edu Blogster. Okay. That's why I stopped using it. Thank you. Okay, yeah, I was aware that there was an education part of Blogster, so maybe that would help with that. But yeah, I have heard some things about Blogster, perhaps, you know, advertisements and stuff. And so looking for ad-free, I would assume that the education part would have that, but
The education one, it still has the ad, but one of the things you can also think about is using the embed code, so that you can embed the blog within, say, a wiki or a blog.
Yeah. Okay, well, since the internet doesn't appear to be cooperating right now, what I'll do is I'll actually skip ahead in my presentation a little bit to one that doesn't require online technology.
There we go. What is this, BLC?
BLC 10, all caps.
How'd I do? Oh, I missed the L. Can't spell very well.
Thank you.
Yeah, it should speed it up.
Uh-huh. Okay. Let me search if I can find it. Here we go. Adora's TED Prezi. So this was the one I made for my TED speech, and it didn't take me very long, actually, which was surprising because they end up looking very neat. So you can drag them around with your mouse. You can also use this. And so basically, it goes from place to place. So this was the presentation I used. I'm going through it a little more quickly. And basically what's cool about this to me is that instead of focusing on bulleted text, a lot of it is the visuals of it, is the movement, which can definitely get you thinking about where do I want this to go, what do I want this to say to my audience with the movement around on the canvas. So there's lots of options like Prezi, as far as presentations go, that can get kids thinking about more than just what do I want to say, which is a very important part of the text and the pictures, but also how do I want it to show, how do I want it to move, what do I want my audience to get out of that. Wordle, how many of you have heard of Wordle? See a lot of raised hands. So Wordle is very well known, so I won't be going on the website, but what they do is you have a block of text, you put it in a Wordle, and it shows you a word cloud or a word map. And the words that are used most frequently are the biggest, and they're arranged in very interesting ways. And this could be used in a variety of methods. What are some ideas? How have you used Wordle in your classrooms? Yes? Interesting. Yeah, using Wordle, that's a very creative way, and using that to help with the organizing. Yes?
It's great for historic speeches, especially since the tone of speeches, you're going to bring the audio at such a different level than we're used to hearing politicians speak today, so it helps really clarify the main points. It's also really interesting for like food diaries. If children are keeping food diaries, they write down everything they eat in a week, put it into Wordle, and
very, oh, nuggets, yeah, that I could definitely see that. I think pizza might be another large one. Yes, what are some easy pieces for them?
I've used Wordle
with
presenting a story, like the predicting. So, like, you take the contents of the story,
very good. Yes.
Use it as like a vocabulary walk before reading a story, just by showing kids like the cover of the book, and they predict which words they think will be there. And obviously, the more frequently a word has been mentioned, the larger it is, and then the kids all can go back and look at that and see if there are.
Yes. Yes. Sorry.
I haven't actually done this, but some ideas that I've had is. You take some text from Gutenberg, you know, anything that's copy-free, and you put it in as a review, like after you've done Huckleberry thing with students, and see what themes come out, and then they can use those words to write about. Or putting Romeo and Juliet in, and then asking them, why is Romeo's name bigger than Juliet? It provides a great discussion starter, things like that.
Definitely. So, yes?
Use as an interesting way of comparing two books. Look at the Wordle for one book, look at the Wordle for another book. Put them together into one text and look at their combined Wordle.
Interesting. I haven't heard that idea before. I mean, haven't heard any of your ideas before, honestly. Yes?
You copy like a paragraph of maybe Earth Science or something, and you have kids guess the Wordle. You know, so they see those words and they have to guess what that is.
Thank you. Yes. Great ideas. Now, for those of you who are wondering why I'm asking you so many questions, this is really a big part of my presentation. I want to hear a lot of your ideas, not just because this is my first time presenting on this topic, and so I want to collect ideas for next time, but also, yeah, that's my ulterior motive, but also because I think the discussion is a really important part of this and getting you to think actively during the presentation. So, yeah, I have two motives there. So it seems like we have a lot of ideas for how to use Wordle. Another one is making flip charts or making presentations. I really enjoy doing it because it gets me thinking, like making most presentations, about how I use color, about how I use shapes. And so making presentations can actually have a big, fun element. Camtasia Studio, did any of you go to the session with Kelly about the Math Train videos? No, some of you did. So you know how they use Camtasia, the TechSmith product, to make videos, to tutor other kids. And I thought that was a very creative use. And so definitely peer tutoring is a good way. And in general, making videos, making screenshots can be, that's a very creative usage of it. Any ideas? Have your students made similar things, videos, for instance, or screen captures. Okay, so for those of you who haven't experimented with that, I definitely recommend checking it out. And let me show you an example, actually, of some of my teaching on it. I'll have to go into my email probably to retrieve it. Actually, yeah, maybe I'll be able to find it. Okay, here we go. Six traits, word choice video. It's really odd. Where's that audio? Hold up. Oh, can you hear that? Okay, well, sorry about the hearing. That's just one example.
Coming out of the speaker, but it's...
It's not coming out of my computer. It's just coming out of those speakers very silently. Yeah, well, you can check out this yourself. So this is one of my tutorials about writing. This is the six traits of writing word choice. And so what I'm using as this example of bad word choice, all the houses on our street are very ugly. Mrs. Gibbons lives in a big ugly house down the street. The Fitzgeralds live in an ugly house too. We live in a big ugly house. And asking students to think about what are some ways that I could replace ugly and use better word choice. What are some synonyms? So that then explains those concepts. But I'm going to skip ahead a little bit to blogging. So raise your hand if you have a class blog. See some raised hands. What are some of the things you've been doing on it? Yes?
The way how we work it is that every day there's a kid who's a scribe, or she takes notes, puts in links. It's they're sort of the person to help anybody that's been absent or to help clarify things. And then we've been collaborating with other blogs around the world. We make comments on our blog, we make comments on their blog, we try to do things together.
Okay, very good. So take notes. What are some other creative uses? Yes.
Ours for some things that tend to be non-academic, I like to use, but really enhance academic things. For example, I'll pull sets of photos from Flickr that look very different from one another and ask my children, hey, which one best describes you and why? Where they have to take an abstract concept and then put their own, find themselves somehow in there and then verbalize that and explain it, and then they share among each other and reflect on each other's posts as well. And, oh, I can see why you said that.
Yes, and that's a very good usage. A lot of concern I think that teachers have is with comments, whether they'll be negative. And I think it's important for students who are writing on blogs to have comments that are both positive and highlight the positive aspects, but also receiving constructive criticism from their peers can be a good way of learning. So that is a good usage of a blog. So here is an example, I'm hoping this link is still active, of a class blog, some of the things that they did. So they made, I believe, a Vimeo about their National Geographic's giant map, which they received of Asia. And their class went around and taught. They would wear these interesting costumes representative of each of the areas, so Mount Everest, for instance, and talk about each country.
People.
So I'm going to pause it now because it's a pretty long video. It's very fun to watch. I watched the whole thing actually, but basically what they were doing, they have this giant map, they pick a card, they go sit in that country, and then they not only do that and they film it, but they also explain about each one. So not only are they learning, but also the people watching are learning about each one of those countries. You see that they are thinking creatively, they're wearing their little costumes, they're acting out, it's freezing up here. And so that's a very good way, and I think it encapsulates some of the things that blogging can be used to do. So another good one is the Spartanburg Day School's Griffin Science, and this one has more teacher content, but they both have a lot in common in that obviously they're blogs, they're informative, they have links, they have both multimedia and text, and I think that those are some of the things that you really aim for when you have your class blog. Now, anyone know what this diagram is? Yes? Yes, similar to Bloom's taxonomy. It's funny, I found a few different versions when I looked online. So this was the one that I picked up. And it's, at the top you see creating, evaluating, and then also applying. And these are some of the skills I think that students develop when they write on a class blog. They not only take that knowledge, but they also think about how to apply it in new and creative ways, which I think is an important skill. Definitely to have, not just learning and not just regurgitating that information, but thinking, how can I apply this? How can I write something that's interesting and informative for readers? Now, to me, one of the reasons that I enjoy writing a blog and that I enjoy writing a blog about some of the things that I've learned is that clear purposes really motivate me. When I know I'm learning this and I'm researching this because I want to write a blog post, because I want to help others learn about it, then I really am more motivated. So here's a tip, if you haven't already, give students access to write on a classroom blog to showcase what they've learned. So another interesting point is microblogging, and I was a little hesitant to include this one because I was thinking, well, you know, Twitter or microblogging, how does that really fit into creativity? And then I realized, well, one of the skills I've learned is how am I concise with the ways in which I get across information? And so that required a lot of thinking. How do I get what I want to say across in 140 characters? And it really makes you think about new ways to do that. So how many of you use microblogging with things like Twitter in your classrooms? See some raised hands. And how do you use it?
Yes?
Wow, that is a big honor. Did your class use?
No, I'm planning to.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Great. What are some of your ideas?
I'm going to get some K classes, Twitter, back and forth, to share, you know, any ahas or discoveries, and they would tweet it to the other class and make anything better.
Yeah, that's definitely a good use. And I read an interesting article actually about colleges are increasingly using Twitter. There was one, I forget which one. There was a class and they would use Twitter to actually answer some questions that the professor was posing. They were in the real classroom, but they would use Twitter to have that back and forth discussion going on their computers. And one of the reasons that the students said they liked that was because they didn't feel as afraid to stand up and say something out loud. They would be able to do it on Twitter and still get that interesting back and forth going on. Scribd is a great way to publish student work. I've done it myself. Making quizzes. Have any of you given your students the opportunity to make quizzes in the classroom? Well, one of the reasons I think this is important is because a lot of times students learn how to answer the question correctly, but it can be an even harder skill to learn how to ask the right questions, the questions that will get the most out of the answer. And so learning how to ask questions can be a good skill that you learn when you're making quizzes. Scratch. I'm assuming you guys all know about Scratch now. Oh, yes?
Oh, I thought you were asking
who. Yeah. Oh, you do use Scratch. Okay, great. And what are some of the applications you've seen of that in the classroom?
My fourth graders educate the community about our core values in our school through a game, simulation, or a movie.
Great. So fourth graders educate the community about core values through a movie or a game. That sounds like a wonderful project. So Scratch can be used. I need to download it. I was playing around with it on someone else's computer, actually, and I found it very entertaining. And it's not only entertaining, it also gets you thinking, you know, how do I use this medium, one that you might not use before, like animation, to get a message across. Collaborative writing, this is one that I'm going to be getting all of you involved in. Oh no. So collaborative writing can be used in a variety of ways. Some of you might have used it, for instance, on Google Docs, having one person write something up, having another person edit it. The type of collaborative writing that I'm going to be doing today is everyone collaborating to write one thing. So I enjoy making writing social, and I know that writing is typically a very lone activity. It's, you know, one person does it, they write their thing, and many people, when they think of writers, think of someone sort of in their cell, locked up, typing or penning away. So to me, I know that writing, even though I love it, can be scary for many students. And I believe that sharing is truly encouraging. When you participate, it helps the students understand that you're not just saying, hey, you give me your writing. It's also showing them that you intend to share yourself. And one of the things that this does is what I call the poison tester effect. Because even though you know that your writing assignment probably isn't that bad, it's not lethal, it's not poisonous, sometimes you might face students who are a little mistrustful, who are thinking, you know, this is going to be really, really hard. Why do we have to do this? So when the teacher steps in and might show a quick example, might do some of the writing him or herself, then that shows the students, well, maybe the teacher can do it. It must not be so bad. Before students tackle projects on their own, collaborative group writing can be a good way to demonstrate new concepts. It helps build teamwork. And I try to use an inquiry-based approach. I ask a lot of questions of the students to get their ideas and their imagination flowing. So to show you what I mean by this, let's pretend that you're students, and together we're going to do a collaborative descriptive writing exercise about a randomly selected topic. So the way I'm going to do this is I have a cool little thing I found called Boot Machine, I think it is. Something like that. Yeah, here we go. And so you enter in a list of, so what are some things that we could randomly write a story about? Let's come up with ideas that we'll make a list of. I'll put in one, tree houses. Okay, so that's one topic. What's another one?
Sharks.
Sharks. Great. What else?
Mirrors.
Mirrors, good one.
Dragons.
Okay.
Friends.
Stiletto
heels.
Stiletto heels, nice. Is that with two L's or one?
One L, two T's.
Okay.
You got it.
Oh, it's, oh, that was with, oh well, okay. Let's see, stiletto heels and more.
Bacon.
Bacon. Any other ideas? Get one more.
Music.
Okay, great. And I'm going to add, not basketball, what was I thinking?
BLC.
Oh, that one's like realistic fiction. I guess that's fine. Okay, BLC 10. So, here we go. Fruit machine. And it will randomly select them. Music. Okay, so it happened to land on the topic of this list that I happen to know the least about, even though my sister plays piano and violin. Okay, so let's come up with some ideas for a story about music. First, let's start with characters. Actually, you know, something I heard about just recently, did anyone see Julia Leong, I think I pronounced her name? She did a wonderful presentation about something called Five Card Flicker. So, and this gives you some pictures which you can then think of stories from. So let's see, pick an image to add to your story. Which one of these images do you think we should add? Okay, sure, let's do that dress, very pretty. Let's add a second one. Okay. Third one. The little boy.
The one.
Oh, that one, yeah, that's cool. Okay, great, and we have two more other images. Trees, okay, and one more. Which?
The first one.
The first one?
Yes.
Okay, great. So now we have our 5-card Flickr complete story. And what we're going to do is look at these pictures and see how we can get an idea or some ideas from them. We are writing a story about music, and it looks like we have a picture of this interesting rose dress, some soldiers. It looks like kind of light and a sky, a tree, and what is that over there?
A gas mask,
yeah. Okay. So how do you think we could write a story about music from these pictures?
Choosing character, right?
Yes, so let's start with choosing characters. Let's come up with some names. Okay, so who should our first character's name be? I won't hold it against you if you do something like Bob. Okay, Bob, why not? And what is it exactly that Bob does? Oh, I have a great idea. Why? He can be a florist, since we saw that dress with roses. Bob the florist lived and worked in Boston, Massachusetts. Oh dear, did I spell that right? Okay, good. I have a big phobia of misspelling Massachusetts. So. And let's take another look at our pictures for our setting and our plot. So Boston, Massachusetts, and maybe it's during winter since this tree looks weighed down by ice. And so he's probably, being a florist, that might not be a good time to be in business. It was a nasty winter. Actually, tell me how, is anyone here from Massachusetts? Great, tell me what winter was like. It was a nasty winter. The air felt weighed down. Cold. And even the hawks that roosted in trees shivered. Okay, it was not, by anyone's estimation, a good time to be a florist. Especially if, like Bob was, you were a locally sourced flowers florist. A little awkward there. Okay, so how could we incorporate any ideas from these photos?
So make the bottom one bigger.
Make the bottom one bigger. It's a gas mask. Yeah, this is a very complicated story. So what do you think should happen here as far as plot goes? Oh man, this is really complex.
It was the dragon or the bacon, one of the two. Maybe he gets a part-time with Bob.
Okay.
Maybe you should get some ideas from Holidays.
Yeah.
We need another character.
Yeah, we do need another character. And we don't necessarily have to like look at the pictures and take them literally. We can, you know, just take ideas from them. But we need another character. Okay, so name for a character?
Bacon.
Bacon.
Best buddy Bacon.
Okay, and is Bacon a
dog?
Dog. Okay. As Bob walked home through the snow on another dismal day, he wished that winter. He wished that someone would invent flowers that grew in the winter. Let me insert another page. My goodness, this is like impossible. Okay. See, this is an example of creative problem solving.
Maybe Bob decides to take another job as a musician.
Oh, that's a very good idea, since he's not doing so well as a florist. Bob arrived home feeling more weary than ever, only to be greeted by his giant slobbering dog, Bacon. as soon as he walked in the door. Bacon usually comforted him pretty quickly, but today he wasn't in the mood for canine saliva on his face. I have experienced.
That's why I wore that mask.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That is pretty creative. Okay, yeah. That's great. He quickly donned a gas mask, which just happened to be available. Okay, maybe. Oh, yeah. He pushed Bacon down with some difficulty, wishing that he purchased one of those 99-cent gas masks at the dollar store in Atlantic City. Okay, just because I'm being really weird right now. And there was actually a dollar store in Atlantic City, although it did not sell gas masks. Okay. Now I must say, as far as stories go, this one isn't starting off very organized, and you may find this is my first time where I've been doing it with pictures and with a randomly selected topic. Usually I would do a descriptive passage about a treehouse, which has less possibilities. But this one I think is interesting because it really gets you thinking, how do I have these totally separate topics? How do I weave those together? And so it can sometimes be interesting to work with such an odd prompt, one that you probably wouldn't come up with on your own, and try to think of ideas for it. So that is an example of collaborative writing. So what do you think is the point of this activity? Yes?
Looking for sources of creativity.
Yes, looking for sources of creativity. That's one very important one. And also getting students to think about, for me anyway, this one is interesting because it gets students to think about what are places I can get topics outside of maybe my normal, what I would think of by myself. And for instance, photos. Looking at photos that were randomly selected can be a good, yes?
Maybe if students were doing it together, then one student can learn from another student's idea and they could use that in their own writing.
Yeah. Very good discussion. So hearing a good idea, being able to use that in your own writing. Yes?
Well, to loosen up the idea, writing has to be a certain way or has to fulfill the need of the schooling requirement. You know, writing is really a freedom. And so students don't have the fear once they understand. You can come up with any, even crazy ideas.
Yes, and that's a good point because that was my mom, by the way. So actually, when I teach creative writing, then I have the students, instead of doing the usual five-paragraph essay, okay, let's write a five-paragraph essay about why we should wear uniforms in school or not, which is a good topic, but to loosen them up, then I say, write a persuasive letter to aliens about why they shouldn't destroy Earth. It's something a little more out of the ordinary. And I think that in order to get students loosened up and really to start thinking beyond what they might normally hear or see, then yeah, you do need some crazy topics sometimes. So there's both a collaborative aspect of this, working with other students, hearing their ideas, working with the teacher, hearing those ideas, and also being able to think creatively. How do I solve this weird, I have all these different topics, how do I weave them together in a way that makes the story interesting to read, as well as contiguous? So yeah, there's a lot of objectives, I think, that could be reached with an activity like this. So another thing that was fun to use was that fruit machine, which selected a random topic as well as the photo prompts. And so raise your hand if you've done an activity similar kind of collaborative writing in your class. Yes. And how did you, what was the objective of the activity?
We actually did one that was collaborative across international writing. Mm-hmm. Story on a wiki, and then they get a writing partner somewhere else, and they did pure editing.
Okay. very good. So peer editing is a wonderful. Oh, and Julie, I just mentioned the 5-card Flickr. We were using it. We were looking at some of the pictures and actually taking them, using them for inspiration. Oh, my goodness. We were using that in combination with a randomly selected topic, and we came up with some pretty crazy stuff. So here were some of the pictures that we had. Go back. Yes, our completed story here. And so we were using this randomly selected topic about music, about a florist, because we were looking at the roses, and then he has a dog that licks him in the face, and so he wished that he had purchased a 99-cent gas mask in Atlantic City that he saw. So it's a little crazy, but I think that that's one of the cool things, is that it really gets students thinking, you know, how can I do, yes?
Got a little picture from the newspaper, mm-hmm. and sometimes like another person you knew got the same one as you did, and then you wrote an article about that picture, and then you kind of looked at the other person and said, oh, they did something completely different than me. So
yes, that's another good idea, taking a picture, looking at it, maybe getting the same picture and comparing the results. I've done that one, and it definitely opens up a lot of possibilities. Another one many of you may be familiar with is, I'm not sure exactly what it's called, but this is a good one for just loosening people up for fun, is writing down a sentence and then you fold it over, so that one's fun too. But yeah, so there are a lot of ways that you can use technology, whether it's a flip chart or Microsoft Word or Google Docs that you use for your collaborative writing, that can help get students thinking about creatively. How can I weave this together? How can I create an interesting storyline? So had a list of activities which I'm, oh, here we go. Okay. This one's pretty fun. So having a list of vocabulary words and then choosing one, writing a poem that doesn't have the vocabulary word in the actual body of the text, posting it on a blog, and people might guess it through comments. So for instance, I chose the word insolent for one of my poems, and I didn't mention the word insolent inside the poem. It was kind of a narrative poem about this girl who never listened. Her favorite word was can't, and then people had to guess, and so some of the guesses were impertinent, and it came very close to insolent. That can be a very fun one. And so, quite a few things you can do. Now, what are any ideas for creative activities in your classroom? Are there any new things that you can think of after seeing this? Yes?
I don't have an idea, but I was dying to know what program you're using.
What program? What program am I using? Yes, it is a very creative program. It's called Active Inspire, and it's if you have seen those active boards all around, then that's the program that they use. It's very neat, and I think it does inspire a lot of creativity, because you know it's designed to be used in conjunction with the board, but it's also good just for using on the computer, and has, you can do text, you can do color, you can do multimedia. It's a very good program. Any other ideas? Yes?
I just had a question. You have all these great websites and programs for this. How do you find these programs? What's the best way to book the new program ideas?
Well, a lot of it is asking teachers like you guys for ideas. Like, a lot of what I do in these presentations does not magically come out of my head. A lot of it is inspiration and asking people questions. What are the programs that you use? What are the programs that you've found have worked really well in your classroom? So talking to other teachers is a wonderful way. I've heard about some of them through my own research. I've also I've worked with Promethean and have experience with their boards, so that's how I found out about Active Inspire. Some of these, for instance, Prezi, how did I hear about that actually? I think it might have, now that I think of it, it might have been at a conference where it was mentioned. Wordle, a lot of teachers have told me about Wordle, about how they've used it, so that was how I found out about that one. Camtasia Studio, I was searching for a tool to do screencasting with. Blogging is pretty self-evident. That one is a quite common one. And yes, that's a great idea. Actually, I'll show you quickly an example of a student blog, my own, as a matter of fact. So Blogs can be used for a variety of ways. One of them was journaling. So I talked about my experience with Ideacity. I posted a video about my TEDx Redmond one. This one is on academia versus business. So I write quite a few essays on my opinion. I post a lot of poems that I've written with students collaboratively. So this is an example of one. I didn't write this myself. These were actually the ideas of the students. So I'll read you the first line. With what we know, we've discovered the anatomy of snow. We've gone to the moon by explorers whose lives have ended too soon. But with what we dream, we've seen unseen, traveled to the center of the earth, the womb of humanity's birth. With what we know, we've made crops grow, traveled around the world, ancient mysteries unfurled. But with what we dream, we found that things aren't always what they seem. We're free of boundaries, allowed to create realities. So that was a poem that we wrote together. Collaboratively, and that's another example of what you can do as far as creativity goes. And that was inspired by a quote. I believe it was, "Life is but a sojourn." I'm not sure. I think that was the quote we used, and that was how what inspired it. So I do write a lot of opinion essays, and this is just one example of how a student could use a blog to post their opinion. It's a good way to teach students about sharing their opinion, writing editorial style posts. And then this one on grammar and spelling, you will not believe how many comments I have had on that one. I won't read that one, but it's a little long. And I also won't read it right now because it's a little critical of my mom. So, yeah.
Gonna get people reading that one for
sure. Yeah, I was considering, you see, my mom thought it was really funny, but I did get a lot of comments that would be, which I agree with, that said, you know, you really shouldn't be this uptight about grammar and spelling. And it was written in a satirical manner, so it, yeah. On my blog, I do try to be creative in that I come up with new ideas, and I post quite a few poems and works. So the audio. Are there any questions or yes?
Did you want a couple more ideas?
Yes.
Okay. So there are two really cool programs on the visual side. One is animoto.com and the other one is viewbox.com.
Okay, let me check these out. Animoto.com. Yeah. Spelled like that?
Yes.
Animoto.com. And, oh nice, we make killer video from your images automatically. So this is a good example, I guess. Oh, I have heard of this one. Yes, thank you for showing
that. So this one allows kids to make kind of slideshows with music, and sometimes it's really a good complement to writing personalized essays and taking photos of themselves and then find some music to put it to, and it displays really well.
Very neat. So Animoto is a good one. Yes.
Another visual one is Viewbox.
Viewbox, right, okay. So view spelled like
V-I-E-W. V-U-V-O-X.com. No, no V.
V. Oh. V, okay.
Yeah.
V-U.
Yeah.
V-U-V,
no V.
Oh.
Yeah.
Just viewbox.com?
Viewbox. V-U-V-O-X.
V-U-V-O-X. Oh, okay.
There you go.
Okay, sorry about that.
And that's that allows you to put in images, but they're horizontal, which are really interesting because they're collages and to move them horizontally.
Okay.
That's cool. And one last one is iPadio, iPadio.com, which allows you to create a account and call into a free number and create a podcast with a telephone.
Wow, very cool.
You can use it on anything but a rotary phone.
Okay.
And it's really cool, and you can make it private or not. So it's really good, and we're experimenting with kids who have an ability to write, you know, with their hands for whatever reason.
Okay. Great, thank you very much. Any other ideas as far as creative projects? Yes?
There's a blog that I read called Free Tech for Educators, or teachers.com, and it updates every day, and it has just like free technology and uses applications for classrooms. So it's Free Tech and the number 4, freetechforteachers.com.
freetechforteachers.com. Okay, so which
and like I said, they update about every day. There's a like a top every week. They say the top sites that people use. Some are good, some are bad, but they're not top on there.
And well, thank you very much for sharing that. Now, yes. Oh, okay. Well, one of the things also that I wanted to mention was I was talking earlier about how I got a lot of negative comments about one of my posts, and actually, I've never gotten a comment that has been like obscene or otherwise inappropriate. Most of them are just constructive criticism, or you know, I saw your website or something like that. So that's one of the good things that I've experienced, is that the response to my blog posts have always been very positive. And I know this is a big worry of teachers, is that, you know, a kid posts something on a blog, there will be a lot of you know, negative comments. And so I've had a pretty good experience with that, just in my own life. Yes, an idea, creativity?
Yes. A really fun idea is, it's called Storybird. I think it's storybird.com. You pick the art from the artist, and then it fills in the screen, and then in the center is your book, and you just drag the art to the book, and then it gives you a text box. And you can also then email to somebody to collaborate and continue writing the story for you.
Wow. And this is just an example. Since you were wondering where I get all these ideas, like, this is how. I mean, already it looks like we have Storybird, we have Free Tech for Teachers, we have iPadio, we have ViewVox, we have Animoto. And so, yeah, if you want ideas for how to get kids thinking creatively with technology, ask a teacher. Ask a teacher who has some ideas, and you'll learn a lot. Okay, any questions or other ideas? Okay, well, in that case, then we can wrap up. Just to let you know, if you have any copies of my book that you didn't get me to sign, I'll be happy to do that. Well, thank you very much. Yes?
Yes, as a student, what was your
What is my favorite mode of expression out of those things that I've introduced us? Honestly, writing. Very simple. I just like typing up stories, typing up poems, and expressing myself through writing. I like also doing writing in a visual way, using photos, using clip art to illustrate it. And so really sometimes simple works very well, although I do enjoy using all the things I've also showed, things like Prezi, flip charts, and it's really different areas. Thank you very much. I'm sorry about the presentation being a little bit last minute, and I hope that you really enjoyed. Thank you very much.